Welcome to episode, we have no idea, of the It's a Show podcast. I'm GA.
I'm Peaker.
I'm intern Ava.
I'm intern Scooby Sway.
This week on the show, exploding kittens.
Aww. Wayne Gretzky's grandson.
Plus a love life update with the one and only Sparky.
This is going to end terribly.
What the heck are you guys doing?
We were getting the microphones plugged in, checking the audio levels and things like that.
Are you tired of being a hamster on a wheel to nowhere?
Yes!
It's a brand new era of the It's a Show podcast. Welcome to it. I'm GA.
I'm Peaker.
I don't know my nickname yet.
You have to give everyone.
Peaker, tell us a little bit about yourself. You got some huge shoes to fill, literally and figuratively, because Sparky's about a size 12.
Really, what it came down to was I needed beer money and applied to an ad. And
thank God for Kijiji, everyone.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here. I'm a guy with some opinions that I think sometimes need to be heard. Well, in my own mind.
Yeah, I'm just a little concerned that the underage interns will hear your opinions.
Yeah, I'll keep it PG.
You are a father of two girls.
I am a father of two girls. I am.
They're baby girls too, right?
Yes, they are.
How old?
Well, we got one that's two, turning 18. And we got another one who's six, and she's quite the handful, too.
Went to the local hockey rink last night and saw the Rebels play a game. And between periods, they had some six-year-old age group novice hockey players, guys and girls on the same team, the Lakers teams. Unbelievable skaters. Well, skate 10 times better than me. I can't even believe it.
Well, I'll tell you what, my oldest, she's playing ringette. She just came into it, so
she's been skating since,
you know, well since last year. Like, she started just last year, and I'm telling you, man, the drills and the skills and whatnot that they go through,
get them up to speed. And you're coaching. Yeah. You're helping coach.
I'm helping coach. Yeah, I'm more of a motivator.
You're good at that.
I'm very good at that.
I'm not. Intern Ava, tell us, for lack of a better name, tell us why you can't skate.
Because my parents suck at skating, and I have their genes.
And every time we try and take a kid skating, there's a big squawk about it, and it turns into a whole thing. And that being said, I should have pushed you harder. It's my fault.
Well, he did push me, but not in the way I wanted him to.
All right, Scooby Sway, what about you in skating? What are your thoughts on skating?
I can't do it.
Yeah. Now, what do we got? We got a situation, because I'm a 48-year-old man who can't skate backwards.
And we live in Canada.
You're a 15-year-old who can't skate at all.
Well,
not very well. And so here we are. We're afraid to go to the outdoor rinks when it's beautiful out because the other Canadians will mock us.
Yeah,
now we're in a bit of a pickle. What are we going to do? We need private ice time and private coaching.
We're going to skate to one song only. Lady Hump by the Black Eyed Peas. What you going to do with all that junk inside my trunk? I'm going to get you drunk, off my lady hump, my hump, my lovely lady hump.
I'm not skating to anything with references to lady humps. I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
No, it's not. It
gets
gross.
The people going.
It's disgusting.
No, that's enough. Why do you guys keep doing that?
We need Annalise, your daughter, to come and give me skating drills.
Yeah, totally. Yeah,
That'd be a great video.
Classic.
Let's talk about Gretzky's grandson. Gretzky's daughter had a baby.
Right.
What would be the ideal name
does she know who the father is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just checking.
It's the golfer guy.
Oh, okay, right.
Golfer guy.
Right.
What would be the ideal name, the appropriate name for the great one's grandson?
I don't know. That's such a good question.
Like, how much pressure is going to be on this kid his whole life?
Oh, tons.
If
this kid
does
not pick up a hockey stick right now.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's right.
He's getting judged for sure.
What if he becomes like a ringette player or something?
You never know. As far as a name goes, I don't know. Dangle. Dangle Gretzky.
That's not bad, man. That's not bad at all.
It's pretty good.
I like Dangle.
Top shelf Dangle Gretzky.
Dangle top shelf. Top shelf's a good middle name.
I think so, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Score. Could call him Score.
Score.
Score Gretzky.
Score.
What's her guy's name? She's not keeping Gretzky, I don't think. Or maybe she'll be a hyphen.
She'll have to be a hyphen.
Paulina hyphen golf. Well, we solved that one in record time. This is the recession-proof podcast. We don't care what's going on with the economy, what's low, what's high.
Yeah.
We're always high over
we're
here.
Always,
thanks
always
to
high.
Tim Hortons today, and yesterday was a different type of beverage when I recorded with Sparky.
That's perfect.
It was bittersweet. Sparky was saying a temporary farewell. The part of Sparky is now being played by Peaker. Sparky has left us temporarily because of his workload and the fact that he's gone back to business school.
Well, he's a busy guy.
Yeah. Put on his business pants, and he's gone back to business school.
I wonder if he'll listen to us, and he'll just...
Oh, he'll listen. Don't worry.
You think he'll judge me?
Oh, yeah, he's definitely going to judge you. But it'll be a nice judging thing. You know, the new guy's okay.
Well, I hope so.
He's not very mean-spirited.
I mean, I had to try out, right? I mean, the Kijiji ad said, you know...
Speaking of ads, he's got a limited time on his match.com. The profile that he paid for is running out.
Really?
And so when we last left Sparky, he had... one on the hook, and they were going back and forth. It was a rapid text-a-thon. Scooby, who are you texting? Yeah. Are you texting a girl?
Maybe.
Okay. Move your hair out of your eyes. We had this discussion. I can't see you. Where did we leave? He was trying to get her to answer him when we were recording the last podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think we should at some point call him for an update.
First podcast without Sparky, we'll have Sparky.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
That's something we do. Let's move on to Spandy Andy.
Spandy.
All right.
For those not familiar in North America.
This is Dad's favorite son.
No, yeah. His man crush.
Okay. He's a man who dances and he's not afraid to show off the plum smugglers and he's a classic.
Keep it tight and bright.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what? It all started because he got bullied in school and he just finally made the decision. I'm just going to put myself out there. I don't care what other people think. And he recently made a video in Florida celebrating the low price of fuel, and he just got down with it, and it was edited well, and everybody's looking at him like he's from a different planet, and it got 8 million hits, I want to say.
Wow, that's amazing, man.
He is a rock star. So I think we need to propel the Spandy Andy cause and get him on as a guest star on It's a Show.
I think so. You know, anyone who can sort of take that fear or that, you know, and turn it into something, man, that's cool.
Show no fear, Spandy Andy.
You know, he's braver than I am. I
found a nickname for a little intern here.
Okay, what is it?
Is it
on the intern generator?
It's awful. It's DJ Pariah Mouse.
That's what you get for owning the internet.
Yep.
Back to the format. Already in progress. Well, we've talked about it. We've teased it. And it's time to get to Exploding Kittens.
All right.
Intern Ava or whatever her name is. Just put her hand over her mouth going, shocked and amazed. There he was, stumbling around the internet, as he's prone to do, when Peeker came across the Exploding Kittens. Now, a dog barked right when we were talking about kittens. Is that weird or what?
Hi there. My name is Matthew Inman. I make the oatmeal. And this is Elon Lee and Shane Small. They make really cool games. The three of us got together and created a new card game called Exploding Kittens. Here's how the game works. You set our deck of cards face down and take turns drawing until one of you draws the Exploding Kitten card. Whoever draws the Exploding Kitten card explodes, they are dead, and they are out of the game. Unless that player has a defuse card, which can defuse the kittens using things like laser pointers, kitten therapy, and catnip sandwiches. You can also deploy the Taco Cat, Abercrab Lincoln, Magical Meat Bikinis, and a Fearsome Catterwalkie. To win this highly strategic, kitty-powered version of Russian Roulette, you have to decide which cards to play, when to play them, and which of your opponents to target. The gameplay allows you to develop fun or cruel strategies against one another. The game is kid-friendly, super fun, and super easy to learn. But that doesn't mean Exploding Kittens is simple. With every card you draw, you increase your chances of getting one of the Exploding Kittens and being booted from the game. The longer you play, the greater your odds of exploding and the more tense the game gets. So, if you're the type of person who's into games, kittens, laser beams, Sasquatches, explosions, enchiladas, and sometimes goats, please back our Kickstarter. In exchange, we'll send you our game. Thank you very much.
They, on Kickstarter, raised $1.5 million on a game called Exploding Kittens, which basically it's just the goofiest game.
Yeah, if you Google it right now, it's brilliant and it's just simple.
Yeah, so you're pulling cards and you're pulling cards. And if you happen to pull an Exploding Kitten, you're out of the game. That's it.
You're done.
Boom. Unless you have another card, you know, that may have deflected or diffused that explosion, which could be like a pork missile.
Pork missile, of course.
Yeah.
Makes total no sense at all.
Or a laser pointer. Or, so I checked back today.
Yeah.
They've raised close to $4 million. 5 days.
5 days on Kickstarter. Okay, so we got to get these guys on the podcast.
We have to.
Scooby Sway, look them up, please. Exploding Kittens. And direct message them saying we want an interview and make me sound important and put the address.
Yeah, Facebook would be the oatmeal. It's
a show. Just tell them to answer me. Go through the It's a Show podcast, message them.
I don't have that.
Okay. This is the problem with interns today. It's always, we can't, we won't.
Interns.
Sorry.
It should be noted that coming up in the second part of It's a Show this week is an interview with Jacob Blair. This guy is a great actor. Hot Tub Time Machine. and The Gray, A-Team with Liam Neeson, as well as all kinds of 2012, the TV movie, and
that's pretty.
He's pretty impressive. Yeah. He's starring now in The Pinkertons, which is being shot in Winnipeg, and we're gonna have a sit down with Jacob Blair, find out more about him, how he got to this point in the second half of It's a Show this week. Now it's time for the intern update. Anything on your minds?
Born January 26, 1984, in the bustling prairie metropolis of Red Deer, Alberta, Canada, his home base is now in Toronto, and he's devoted his adult life to mastering the craft of acting and can currently be seen in The Pinkertons playing the role of William Pinkerton. He's also had roles in countless movies and shows like Rookie Blue, Republic of Doyle, Suits, a personal favorite, The Gray, and The A-Team with Liam Neeson, and Hot Tub Time Machine, acting alongside John Cusack. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you RDC alum Jacob Blair.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Hey, man. Good to see you.
Thank you.
Should be noted that your mom, Deb, works here at RDC in the nursing program.
She does
placement for nurses. So
the main reason that I went to RDC is because after I graduated from Hunting Hills, I just, like all everybody else, I didn't really know what I wanted to focus on. And having the local college and actually the huge amount of options that you had at Red Deer College, you know, when that course guide comes up.
Right.
I was flipping through things, and I'm like, man, I didn't know you guys offered this many things, you know.
Yeah.
So
it was you took the safe way, though. You went to commerce, like an age-old.
I just understood it. It was just something
numbers
that made sense.
So that's actually in your profession, having that background with numbers.
Yes.
Because, I mean, you're getting your money in fits and starts. You got to manage your money.
Big time. And, I mean, it was a general commerce program, understanding, you know, economics and just the way commerce works, right?
Yeah.
But it definitely has been a hidden skill, because I didn't know that being an actor, you are essentially a small business.
And absolutely.
You are bringing a product, no matter how personal it is, how much art is attached to it.
Yeah.
You are selling, you know, a product to people.
And you got a lot of tax breaks.
Absolutely.
Which is good.
I won't go through which ones, because if CR is listening, I'll get off it.
Well, this is a totally non-actor gig, so your mom's not getting any commission for being the agent on setting this one up. So.
No, she wouldn't take one either.
In 1972, a crack commando unit was sent to prison by a military court for a crime they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from a maximum security stockade to the Los Angeles underground. Today, still wanted by the government, they survive as soldiers of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can hire the A-Team.
Our special guest is Jacob Blair, and we totally forgot to talk about Liam Neeson. So you starred with him in The A-Team.
That's right.
And The Gray as well?
And The Gray. Both were interesting experiences. The A-Team, I actually didn't get to spend much time with him at all. We were in the same movie, but whenever I was on set, we were never on the same shoot day. The only time that I saw him was on my very last day of shooting. I went into the hair and makeup trailer to get everything taken off, and there's Liam over in the corner.
Yeah.
And he's just, you know, he's just chilling by himself. But this is pretty fresh after he lost his wife.
So, really? Okay.
And, yeah, and so he was also kind of burning the candle at both ends on the show itself. So the last thing I wanted to do was just go over there and break his, you know, like his down, like in the hair and makeup trailer.
You're trying to cool out.
You do. Really do. Spending every single day in there, like, you spend a lot of time there, especially if you have, like, wardrobe changes or, like, makeup changes. Like, you do touches on set and then after lunch, and, like, you're always in there, right?
Yeah.
And it really becomes a place that you can kind of zen out if you're not in your trailer. Like, if you have to be somewhere, the hair and makeup trailer is a really
And those
cool
people
place.
Are probably your confidants.
Absolutely,
right?
They are. They become sometimes
therapists.
Your best friends.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So he was over in the corner. I didn't want to break that space. As much as I wanted to go over to him and tell him how much I admired his work and everything like that, the opportunity didn't come by. I didn't know if I was going to get another opportunity to say how much I appreciated his work and how much I looked up to him, right?
Yeah.
But I couldn't do it. So left the trailer. And then, you know, the Gray comes around and I auditioned for that. But because I had worked with Joe Carnahan before, he liked my audition tape the most, and he didn't give me, like, again, it was, they tossed the sides at us for a bigger character.
Right.
Liked my audition the most for that character, but he couldn't give it to me because they already booked somebody else.
Right.
So he gave me a smaller role on it, and so then we got to spend a lot more time with Liam. We got to go to cast dinners and cast read-throughs, and such an awesome, down-to-earth guy. Again, with the whole, like, I blanketed it with, you know, people at that level are just so humble and down-to-earth.
So you're at a table read with this. Set the scene for us for this.
Okay, well, basically, my character was, you know, I was only in it for like the first 15 pages, and then I die in the plane crash. So Joe, because we had such limited people at the read-through, got me to do all, like, read the stage direction, because Joe likes to write notes and everything like that and mark stuff up as we're going through the read-through.
Right.
So he got me to, do, like, read all, you know, like, the stage directions and all, like, you know, basically the scenes, interior, exterior scene, whatever, and then, you know, just let it go. But there was the scene at the very end of the movie, you know, he like breaks the bottles and he's like taking on the wolf type of thing.
Yeah.
And so I'm reading that, I'm reading that, I'm reading that. And they initially had, I don't know if they kept it in the movie or not, but he has, you might have to bleep this out, but he has this line where he just looks at the wolf and goes, "Bring it on, you mother." You know what I mean? And
yeah.
Just like, so I was reading it, reading it, reading it. And then he does that line, and then we start to laugh. And then Joe's like, "Jacob, Jacob, go back. Read that part again. You got to set it up for him." He's like, "Okay." I read it really, really slow. And I look at him, and he just looks at me like a thousand-yard stare, and he goes, "Bring it on, you mother." And I'm like,
oh,
it was such a cool experience that he, like, stared me down. Like,
yeah.
The guy reading the stage directions.
Oh, man.
It was awesome. He's such a nice guy, you know, and he's not the type of guy that waits for you to engage him, you know. And
he'll come up to you.
Yeah, absolutely. There were a couple of times where, you know, we were all at the cast dinner, and then he kind of came in late and shook hands, and, you know, he was two chairs away from me, and he had known all these guys, but he didn't know me, so
yeah.
He started asking me questions, like, "Yeah, so what's going on with you? Where are you from?"
Yeah.
And just,
well, I think, too, when you're at that level, you don't want it to be weird any more than anybody else wants it to be weird. You want to break it down as soon as possible and just be normal with everybody.
Of course, and I mean, he's worked with so many people,
yeah.
I'm sure that's just kind of commonplace for him to just kind of know who he's working with,
yeah.
Right? But it was still, it really felt special to me that he engaged me. I didn't have, because at that point, you also don't know who's really cool and who's not, and who's
right.
up for just having a random conversation. But,
yeah.
You know, he was one of the guys. He's just so humble, down to earth,
yeah.
Really cool guy that you could share, you know, a glass of Jameson with.
That's awesome.
Awesome. He's a great guy.
My name is Greg Shannon, and I hang out with guys who hang out with Liam Neeson.
More dark sarcasm coming up after this.